Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issue is the name of the program. I'm Tim with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Fred Jackson in studio with us.
He's back again.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard joins us from Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well today. Weather in Kansas City is what today?
Look, it just ought to be illegal. It's freezing up here. Tomorrow is the first day of March, and on Sunday, March the 3rd, here in Kansas City, it's supposed to go down to -6. This is wrong. Just wrong.
shall we tell Ray what it was like at our home base in Tupelo yesterday?
You can if you want to.
I'll just tell you, my wife and I sat out on our back patio for lunch yesterday.
Oh, my.
And I almost had to move my chair back in the shade because it was 74 degrees.
Oh, no.
Sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Sunshine. Oh, no. Yeah.
We've been wanting here in the South.
Sure.
We've had rain for weeks.
Yes. It was sure nice yesterday.
But it's gonna get chilly again as March. Today's the last day of.
Yes, it is.
Last day of February.
So we will see how it goes. But I don't know. I don't remember what Punxsutawney Phil said, but I think he was drinking that morning anyway.
That's right. He was tanked.
You can't trust what he. What he says or does. All right, so much to talk about here on the program today. Walker, if folks want to join us, how can they do that on the internet?
Yeah, multiple ways to catch up with the show, join the show. First way is to visit our website, afr.net, on the World Wide Web. You can listen live there and catch past shows. Also, you can join us on social media. We're on Facebook and YouTube. Just go to those platforms, type in Today's Issues, and you can catch the show page there and actually watch the show.
Had someone tell me yesterday they were watching the show from Montana.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably colder than Kansas City, right?
Oh, yeah. It's frozen up there, just completely frozen.
For 6 months out of the year, probably, or longer. All right. So, Jan Markell will be with us for you Jan Markell fans at 10:30. Then at 10:45, Hiram Sasser, General Counsel for First Liberty, will be here to talk about the Supreme Court case.
The Monument case that we talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
Arguments were heard yesterday.
The giant cross in Maryland.
In Maryland, that's right.
Is it a cemetery?
On public property.
Public property.
Yep.
We will talk about that. It's a religious liberty issue that's coming up. Well, yesterday on... What happened in the world yesterday, Fred?
Well, it's
an uneventful day, wasn't it?
Actually, early this morning, our top story.
Okay.
Early this morning, our time. We had a repeat of history of sorts. You may remember President Reagan back in 1987, the Reykjavik summit. Remember he walked
I do away, remember that.
He walked away from the table. He was meeting there with the Soviet Union's Mikhail Gorbachev over nuclear arms. And President Reagan didn't get the deal that he wanted, so at that point he walked away. Did get a great deal after that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, history kind of repeated itself in Hanoi early this morning. Hanoi, Vietnam is the dateline, and we know that President Trump has been meeting there with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. And instead of a ongoing talks, the President Trump, decided to walk away. And the reason was... is that Kim Jong-un wanted all sanctions that the United States has put against his country, North Korea, removed before he went any further with denuclearizing his country. And the president said, no, we're not going to do that. I want clear evidence. And there's some things that went on behind the scenes. But anyway, before I get into that, I wanted to play you a little clip of President Trump at a press conference telling reporters, this is what I had to do this morning. Cut number two.
We had a really, I think, a very productive time. We thought, and I thought, that it wasn't a good thing to be signing anything. I'm going to let Mike speak about it. We spent pretty much all day with Kim Jong-un, who is he's quite a guy and quite a character, and I think our relationship is very strong. But at this time, we had some options, and at this time, we decided not to do any of the options. Actually, it was a very productive 2 days, but sometimes you have to walk. And this was just one of those times.
Yeah, President Trump, he's a businessman. He's the, you know, the art of the deal. Now, he made reference there to Mike. He is referring to Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State. What we learned this morning is that Secretary of State Pompeo was able to share some U.S. intelligence on, we've been spying on North Korea, okay? Mm-hmm. That's not headline news. And apparently our intelligence, U.S. intelligence, has found more nuclear establishments in North Korea than what North Korea has admitted. So what we heard this morning is that the Mike Pompeo has shared that information of what we know about them with them. Mm-hmm. And that kind of set the table for the meeting so that the North Korean leader knew he wasn't getting away with anything if he stated, yeah, we're well on our way to denuclearizing. But he wanted all the sanctions removed. President Trump said no. And as you just heard, the president said, sometimes you have to walk away, and that's exactly what he did.
What is the point of this from the Kim Jong-un perspective, Ray?
You know, he wants to do everything to get rid of the sanctions and keep his nuclear program. And at least this time around, we've got a president who called his bluff, who said, you want your nukes? Fine. You want your program? Fine. But we're not going to drop the sanctions. And I really commend the president. He did exactly the right thing. And, you know, if you read The Art of the Deal, he says in the book, sometimes you get a better deal by walking away from a bad deal. And it sounds like that's what happened yesterday.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Ray. I agree with you 100%. And, you know, the thing is, Kim Jong-un's, he's hurting. Maybe not physically. I'm sure he's got all that he needs. But his country is hurting, and I know he doesn't care about his people in his country, obviously. But the sanctions do have an effect on the government being able to rake in money to do what they want to do. And I believe China forced Kim Jong-un to the negotiating table. But this is President Trump made a good move here, because if President Trump cannot afford to sign a bad deal, right, and then loosen the sanctions, and then Kim Jong-un still got his nukes, and then Kim Jong-un in 6 months starts firing missiles over Japan again. So this is what President Obama did wrong with Iran, in that President Obama wanted so desperately to get a deal that he gave $1.4 billion in cash and signed a deal, and then Iran's still developing nuclear weapons today. So we don't want that to happen again.
I just, you know, I don't know what really the point of going through this exercise, now three meetings or two meetings.
This was the second.
Yeah. Second meeting with President Trump. Here's why I say that from Kim, for everybody's part. If Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea, who's ruthless and brutal and evil, if you read about what he does to his own people, if he wants the U.S. to loosen or get rid of the economic sanctions so that his government can start to do, I guess, business and trade and whatever else that they want to do there, he has to know that the United States has ways of verifying whether or not he has nukes, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, right. Like Ray said earlier, I mean, everybody, this is, or you said, Fred, I forgot who, everybody knows, we know what they're doing.
Right.
So if you can't conceal, if you can't hide, and I don't know how bright this guy is, but if you can't conceal and you can't hide, and we know everything you're doing, we got satellites, we got cameras, we got spies, whatever, why are you trying to fake us out? I would just say, you see my point? Everybody knows, we know what you're doing. So don't call for a summit where you're going to come and you're going to try to say, I'm not getting rid of the nukes, but I want economic sanctions. You can do that on the phone. All right.
Yeah.
Tim, are you suggesting the summit is just basically a waste of time?
A waste of time. Now, I don't fault President Trump necessarily for going if he was led to believe there would be something more substantive come of it. Well, he may have. But I would just tell this guy, Kim Jong-un, we're not meeting anymore. And when you get ready to get rid of your nukes, then we'll do what we can to help you in this situation. And we know what you have. We know what you do. We follow you. So don't try to trick us. Go ahead, Walker.
Yeah, the problem with that our administration is facing now is, in decades past, North Korea has been able to get what they want. Mm-hmm. They've gotten what they wanted out of past administrations. I mean, we used to send money over there. We used to send cash to North Korea hoping that they would come on our side and get rid of the nukes. So I think Kim Jong-un thought he could do the little summit and do some negotiating and maybe get some aid, get the sanctions dropped, and then keep his nukes. Because that's what his father and grandfather have been able to do.
Well, then he's stupid. Excuse the English. Go ahead.
I just want to say, it looks to me, it's early, but I think the president from our side comported himself very well. He took a chance. He went to Hanoi. He was there. He walked away from the table rather than give up something valuable.
Yep.
So is this a big win? I think it's really too early to call it a big win, but I think our president did exactly the right thing.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised one day if we don't wake up to the news that Kim Jong-un's been assassinated.
That could happen any day, you would think.
The reason I say that is I know he's a dictator, and dictatorships run by fear from the top down. And so the things he does to people to demonstrate to the rest of his loyal support group around him and the other North Koreans is the things that they do to people are so horrible that it puts fear in the hearts of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying one day somebody say, you know what, I don't care anymore. I've got a chance to take this guy mm-hmm. out, and if it costs me my life, I could die tomorrow anyway because he may kill me.
I think one reason he's at the table, Kim Jong-un that is because he doesn't want cruise missiles and U.S. Marines in his country.
Mm-hmm.
If he keeps developing nukes and keeps shooting them over Japan, what if one of those actually hit a ship? A passenger ship.
Yeah. Are those nukes? Are those actual
nukes? No, they're ballistic missiles, okay. But they have the capability to put a nuclear warhead on the top of them.
But I
think one reason he came to the table is because he was feeling the military pressure.
Fred, you can talk after this, but comment after this. Also, I'm just shocked that China can't do anything about this guy. As weak as he is, and China, as strong as they are in that part of the world, and they can't even deal with this guy.
Well,
I don't want to.
I think one of the problems with North Korea is that China is basically raping them of their natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
China is taking all their coal. So he's a puppet in their hands. I don't think they're too worried about him at all. Another card, though, that President Trump has been playing is that if North Korea would sign this deal with the United States, the economy of North Korea would take off. That's a card that he's been playing. He knows there are people in North Korea listening to that because the poverty in North Korea is horrific. These people live like peasants
mm-hmm.
while he lives high on the hog. One other point, and then we'll move on. I find it kind of interesting. I don't know if Kim Jong-un has a fear of flying, but he's not flying back to North Korea. He's taking a train.
He took a train down there.
And he's taking a train back through China to get back home to North Korea. So I'm not sure.
So John Madden used to do. He said he took an RV all over the U.S. Remember the football commentator with the Pat Summerall?
Yeah.
Every game, from Sunday to Sunday, he'd get on his – he didn't want to fly, so he'd get on his RV and drive cross country. Because some people are mortally – is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Scared of flying.
Even though it's the safest mode of travel in the world, it really is.
Kim Jong-un doesn't want his plane taken out. That's what he doesn't want.
That's right.
Kim Jong-un, this guy is dangerous because the only thing he has going for him from his point of view is self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, if I were President Trump, there's no point in meeting again until you're serious.
That's
about,
right. Huh? That's right.
Yeah. And I think that's what walking out basically did. All right, next story.
We talked a lot about Michael Cohen's open hearing before a House committee yesterday.
What a gentleman that guy is.
Wow, hours of testimony, but I think we can break it down. He referred to the president as a racist. He's a con man. He's a liar. On and on it went. Basically, those lines kept repeated all day long.
And he was my client for 10 years.
That's right. That's right.
And I did his dirty bidding.
And
for
I
10
did
years.
His dirty bidding. And I
got rich
there.
Off of it.
Exactly. Yeah. And here's something interesting. Last evening on Tony Perkins' Washington Watch program here at AFR, Tony interviewed Congressman Mark Green, Republican, who sits on that committee. And of course, Cohen is caught in multiple conflicts yesterday. And some blatant falsehoods. And Mark Green explained one of the falsehoods that he caught Michael Cohen trying to convince the public about yesterday during this hearing. Cut number one.
We caught him in multiple, conflicts and even some blatant falsehoods. One of the things he did today, he had to fill out a form before he gave his testimony. The form asked, do you have any foreign contracts? Of course, he says no on the form. And then in testimony today describes two contracts that he has, one with Kazakhstan and then one in South Korea. It's been hard to not just have outbursts of frustration and at times just laughter at the sheer audacity. He even said, I didn't defraud a bank. And he's going to jail for filing false documents to get a loan from a bank. I mean, that's defrauding a bank. And in testimony today, he said, I never defrauded a bank. I mean, it's just been it's been laughable and sad, tragic.
Yeah, that's Congressman Mark Green, Republican, sits on that committee. So in just that very short 57 seconds, he pointed out twice yesterday, well, Michael Cohen, in the midst of charging the president with lying, was caught in lies and distortions.
Let me just an observation here about this whole thing with Michael Cohen, who was President Trump's personal attorney for 10 years. Is that right, Ray?
That's right.
Okay.
Decade.
I was reading yesterday about this. There, a couple things. One is it's unseemly and unsavory and unethical, seems to me, for a man who was your personal lawyer for 10 years, got paid well, all right, to do his job, now to turncoat, not forced. Was he subpoenaed here, or did he come voluntarily?
Oh, he came voluntarily.
All right, then. Mm-hmm. A code of behavior, if that's what you want to call it, I was reading yesterday, for lawyers in the state of New York, which I'm sure it's this way in all 50 states, and that is you need to honor your client attorney privilege and privacy. Mm-hmm. If you don't, if a person doesn't have that, they don't have anything with the law. With a lot of things that Michael Cohen was saying yesterday, it's one of those things where you would say, okay, he calls him a racist. Okay. And he gave, what, two or three examples of something like that? If you're closely aligned with somebody for 10 years as their lawyer, and you're in the car with them, you're on the phone with them, you're at lunch with them, what I'm saying is you could take things out of context easily, and that man's not here to defend himself or to say anything. What your accusations are about what he said, in the car in 2012 when mm-hmm. you were driving around
Chicago.
Gary, Indiana, or wherever like mm-hmm. that. I'm just saying this is not, ethics code for lawyers in the state of New York forbids this kind of thing.
Right. That's so why he was disbarred.
Of course, he's going to jail. He is disbarred. It's almost akin to your priest. For Catholics, you know what I'm talking about. For others, you know what I'm talking about. Whether you have the priest is sworn to privacy, right? Mm-hmm. I guess right. Unless he's compelled by the law to speak. I mean, even then, some priest would say, no, I have a vow. Mm-hmm. I have to uphold. So the whole thing, and the Democrats are bringing the whole reason Democrats brought this guy up there was to try to shame and embarrass President Trump on a personal level. That's all it was. It was National Enquirer stuff, and there was no real substance to it in terms of how did President Trump work with the Russians to change voting in Michigan. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's nothing like that. It's like, so that's my thoughts, Ray, is it was shameful on the part of Mr. Cohen to do this as a lawyer who represented a man and got paid to do so for 10 years.
Well, he's a complete and utter sleazeball. My favorite line of his testimony yesterday was the one where he said, I have told lies, but I am not a liar.
That's classic right yeah. there. Now, that's yeah. a, mm-hmm. that is a, who would have said that? Pogo maybe, or maybe, I don't know, Jerry Seinfeld. That's probably a good Jerry Seinfeld
Bill Clinton.
Line.
Bill Clinton.
Or Bill Clinton, I did not have sex with that woman.
But this shows.
Wag the finger.
This shows when you have the weight of the Federal Bureau of Investigations and the DOJ, mm-hmm. when you have all this weight against you, it will they can make you say whatever they want to make you say. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a prime example.
Yep.
Well, he did this voluntarily, though. What do you think he's going to get
well,
out
no,
of it?
No, this is all tied in together with the prosecution and the sentencing.
Yep.
So this is...
Oh, he admitted that yesterday.
Yeah.
He was asked that by a Republican. Now, what you're here today, are you still working on reducing your sentence? And he admitted yes. to that. This was all part of an act.
So when you have Robert Mueller, the anti-Trump prosecutor, mm-hmm. investigating President Trump, Mueller, I mean, these guys are so corrupt. All it takes is Mueller saying, look, you go to Congress and you spew all this stuff about Trump that you know, and then we'll work on getting your sentence reduced.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
A quid pro quo?
Yeah.
Sort of a tit for
sure.
tat?
Yeah.
Well, I know a lot of police, you know, that's common in the plea down, Ray. You plead.
Right.
You give the police information, and they give you less penalty, less time in jail. So that this is what this seems like, Walker?
Yeah, I don't know why else Michael Cohen, what it would benefit him to go to Congress and do this big show
he's
and call
to
Trump a racist.
Trying to cleanse his soul, Walker. The man is broken. Can you not tell?
Yeah, right.
Good night. Mm-hmm. People are just mean-spirited. All right, so Michael Cohen had his day in the limelight there.
He's back in a closed hearing today. So
he met with the Democrat leadership, at least two of them, before yeah. he testified.
A little
I guess
Adam,
to get
little
their
Adam
story.
Shifty. He met
sure.
He was asked about that yesterday. What did you guys discuss? And Cohen said something along the line, stuff. We discussed stuff.
Stuff.
I am a bit surprised that President Trump picked this guy to be his personal attorney for so long. If he's this kind of guy, but anyway. He also accused President Trump of bullying 500 people, something like that. May I just say that most New York lawyers who work for billionaires spend the day bullying people. That's probably a little bit.
That's yes. their job.
Huh? That's,
right.
That's their job.
That's what they get paid to do.
They bully a couple people before lunch. And then two or three in the afternoon. Then they go home. Good night. Yeah, he bullied people, 500 of them.
Shocking.
All right. Did you see that guy said he hopes Cohen does, if Cohen goes to jail?
He's going to get whacked.
Said he's going to get whacked. So the guys in jail like Trump, and they don't like
it's the Gambinos. They know what they're talking about.
They don't like a rat. All right, we'll be back in a couple of minutes with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
We got nothing but Italians on this show.
We're changing lives one question at a time.
Trivia.
Trivia Friday is educational programming.
What big cat can't roar?
That's pathetic.
The mime cat. I've seen them. They got those white gloves on their paws.
You use milk to sweeten your breath.
In the first century.
What happened when the milk soured?
You got trouble.
Yeah, right that's there. A good.
See, you don't get a second date. I'll just tell you that right now.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C., we go to the Supreme Court. That's one of the places we go on day one, and we visit the inside chambers. We go to where the justices sit, and it's an amazing place to visit, the Supreme Court of the United States. We don't just look at the outside, we go to the inside and see where the justices sit and where oral arguments are heard. So that's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. We're in Washington, D.C., and we also go to Mount Vernon, the home of George and Martha Washington. So we're going in September. June's full. September will be filling up soon. If you want more information on this Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. A ginned-up controversy over cotton. That story coming up. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. For the past 15 years, fifth graders in Rock Hill, South Carolina have received a hands-on lesson about the Great Depression. Every year, the kids take a field trip to a farm where they learn how to pick cotton and tend a garden. They also make homemade cornbread. While the youngsters pick cotton, they also sing a song written by an African-American songwriter who works at the school. Well, it turns out a parent complained, accusing the school district of making a mockery of slavery. And then local Democrats got involved, and the ACLU piled on, accusing the school of singing slave songs. But the school district says the lesson was not about slavery, it was about the Great Depression. And during the Great Depression, a good many Southern folks, black and white, picked cotton, the fabric of our lives. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News Commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
I don't think Kim Jong-un wanted to take on President Trump in one-on-one basketball. Fred, I think... I don't know. Kim Jong-un may have been able to go around him.
Well, as long as it was restricted to penalty shots, so he didn't have to move.
Right. Yes. So he could smoke a cigarette while he shoots free throws or whatever. Kim Jong-un, he's not doing fitness videos over there on TV,
oh, no.
I don't think, huh?
No.
Anyway, Kim Jong-un and President Trump, their meeting ceased because President Trump said they were, he walked away, as they say, because he didn't get what he was looking for on behalf of our country. But I'm sure they will keep working on that. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Walker and Fred and Ray is in Kansas City. We're here in Tupelo. By the way, you can send us an email at comments@afr.net if you would like to. comments@afr.net. Much more to talk about today, and now our guest is who, Fred?
Jan Markell.
Okay.
From Olive Tree Ministries and the host of Understanding the Times, right here at American Family Radio. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. Hey, listen, apparently there is breaking news at this very moment.
Yeah.
That the Attorney General of Israel has decided to indict Benjamin Netanyahu on several what they call corruption allegations. What do you know about that, Jan?
Well, you know, I don't have insight in, so however, I guess I could speculate, and that is that Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu have been apparently the deal of the century, so-called, is in process, and that would be some sort of a negotiated, you know, peace treaty, peace settlement, whatever, even though Israel doesn't have a peace partner, but that's not the point. Apparently, Benjamin Netanyahu has agreed to a Palestinian state, and that isn't new news either, because that's been proposed for a long, long time. And I think he's always been open to that, but now it's getting closer and closer to reality because it's part of this so-called deal of the century presented by Jared Kushner and Donald Trump. And my only thought is, I mean, the evidence for some guilt by Benjamin Netanyahu seems rather kind of high here. You know, is God just taking Netanyahu out? I mean, is it even some kind of judgment on him for this? He seems to think a Palestinian state is the answer to the Middle East dilemma, just like the rest of the world, and that's strong, strong delusion. It'll never work.
Yeah. Well, we're just 40 days before the Israelis go to the polls.
Now, there's already an election day set?
Oh, yeah.
Prior to this indictment?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. And
as a normal part of the political process?
Okay. Yeah. Now, the prime minister, right away, I have to add, he says he's completely innocent of any of these charges. Number two, he says this is part of a witch hunt against him by his political enemies. That's the second part of all of this. Basically, one of the allegations is that he has had a quid pro quo relationship, I guess we could call it, with the major shareholder and one of Israel's telecom giants, BSAG, I believe it is.
Yes, that's correct.
And so that individual has had this, has been given favoritism by the Netanyahu government on regulations, and in turn, this individual has been able to help Netanyahu. A bribed-based relationship is what it's been called. So that's one of the things. As you say, Jan, sometimes reading in the mainstream media, things look bad. This has been a two-year investigation against Netanyahu.
Yes, it has. I'm a little cautious of the Israeli press because they're just as far left-leaning as the U.S. press is. But, you know, we've got to keep in mind Benjamin Netanyahu is not a saved person. He's a Jewish unbeliever. And I think the propensity for the human heart to cave to some of these things is pretty obvious. At the same time, he could be absolutely right. He's just a victim of this leftist press who thinks he's too conservative, and he is quite conservative. You know, he's the longest-serving prime minister of Israel ever. He served 13 years. There was an interruption in between of 10 years. Started in 96 for a number of years, and then there was a 10-year gap. He served again starting in 09. And so he's been there a long time. He's just a hero of Israel as well as his brother Jonathan.
You know, so Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, been indicted on bribery charges by the attorney general of the country.
Right.
And Prime Minister Netanyahu says this is a witch hunt. He's not done anything wrong. Just once in my life, just once. Just for the comedy effect, I would like to see a world leader who is in trouble say, "You got me.
Yeah.
You got me. I give up, guys. I'm guilty as charged."
Probably not going to happen.
No,
here.
Every world leader since the beginning of time, when they're charged with something like this, says, "I didn't do anything wrong. I'm innocent." And you know, I like Benjamin Netanyahu. I think.
Oh, I do too. I do too. Yeah. He's been a wonderful prime minister. Not perfect, but a great prime minister. Yes.
And a friend to American Christians.
Yes,
absolutely.
Mm. His administration.
Yeah, I think your audience needs to be praying about this because, again, you know, a little bit of suspicious timing. I mean, it is election season over there, and this has all come to a head here right as they're going going to be going to the polls April 9th, I think it is. But people are deciding, you know, in the next month what they're going to do. So this is going to influence them.
Yeah, and we don't have time to explain, Ray, the system over there. But I'm going to give you an opportunity, Ray.
Well, I don't know that I can, but I want to ask, because it's Jan would be able to answer that better than me, but how popular right now, Jan, is Mr. Netanyahu? Not with the political class and not with the newspaper side, but with the people on the ground level, the regular people of Israel, how popular is he?
Yeah, he's a popular guy. I mean, just like conservatives in this country are standing with Donald Trump, I think the more conservative-leaning Israelis, and I mean, it is a liberal country, but still they're fighting for their survival at all times, and they know that Netanyahu's been a strong protector of the country. Over there, you elect a party. You really don't elect a candidate like this. You do elect a party, a Likud party. Now, they've got a new party over there. It's called Blue and White. I believe it's to the left of Netanyahu, but I'd have to do some more research. But they've got lots of parties. They've even got an Arab party. There's a gentleman by the name of Avi Lipkin trying to form a Christian party. So that's who you elect. You don't elect the person, you elect the party.
Red,
it's complicated.
Yeah,
Jan, one more thing for you. This is going to shock you, Jan. The UN Human Rights Council has found Israel guilty of overreacting to being attacked by Hamas-backed terrorists along Gaza. The Israelis fought back, and they were too aggressive, according to the UN Human Rights Council, who we know has always been a friend of Israel.
Yeah, exactly. Well, these soldiers are protecting their lives. They're a great danger, these soldiers along the Gaza border there, because all sorts of weapons are coming at them from hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these Palestinians, these Hamas-inspired, I would have to call a lot of them terrorists. They're probably deceived young people. But and a lot of soldiers have been wounded. I think a couple have been killed by all this activity. So not only that, but at the same time, they're launching kites, for Pete's sakes, trying to burn down Israel, and they've succeeded in part. They've burned crops. They've burned farms over there that are near the border. These kites can go, they can go miles and miles and miles. They're filled with fuel and things like that, and then they light whatever they land on. I mean, it's a nightmare. That's another long story we don't have time to go into, but I mean, look, there's trauma going on both sides of the border there with Gaza. I just wish Israel wouldn't have given that up back in 2005.
Amen.
It might not have happened.
Amen.
Jan, thanks so much for your time. Tell us about your website and what's coming up this weekend on your program.
OliveTreeViews.org, and we've got part two of the Worship Wars. We're looking at music in the church last week and this coming week. And I tell you guys, I've never had so much response as I did at part one this past weekend. I'll tell you, people are troubled by the music in our churches, and I've heard from hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Part two this weekend.
Thank you, Jan. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye now.
It's Jan Markell. Her show airs at 1 o'clock Central on Saturday and noon Central on Sunday. It's called Understanding the Times with Jan Markell. Her ministry is called Olive Tree.
I'm kind of upset about it. I haven't yet to heard in a church a banjo duet. I've not.
Is that what you're?
I'm waiting to hear it.
Well, I'm sure somewhere in eastern Kentucky you could hear that.
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
I'll have to go.
Bluegrass country. You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. Guys, on a topic that totally unrelated to anything we had planned on talking about today that I saw on the news in Canada, Fred's home country. They have created at this theme park, they've created a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just tell you how this thing works. It's called the Yukon Striker. Now, where's Yukon?
Yukon is up in what, above the provinces. You have the provinces in the lower half and the territories up north, Yukon.
Right between here and Santa Claus?
Yeah, and the North Pole.
North Pole?
That area. Quite large.
Okay. So this Yukon, Ray, you paying attention now? I know you'll want to
look. I'm looking this up. I'm looking at the pictures of it right now on the internet.
I know you'll want to go on this.
Yes, sir.
The Yukon Striker will reach top speeds of 80 miles an hour. Okay, that's just one element here.
Uh-huh.
My stomach's already turning. Okay, number two, it features a height drop of 245 feet, and including an underground tunnel, and has four inversions where you turn upside down. I think this is a death machine right here for people over 25.
Yeah, my advice would be not to eat the hot dog before you take the ride.
I do not like, well, number one, I don't like heights, but I don't like roller coasters. Yeah. I do not ride roller coasters.
Where is this in Canada?
It's in Canada. Where is it, Ray? You know?
Okay, I'm looking at the pictures. It's kind of unbelievable. Walker, I was just about to suggest we send you on an AFR research trip up there.
I'll stand at the bottom and watch everybody come down.
Formula in Abu Dhabi. I'm trying to see where it is. I just remember when I was a kid, I loved roller coasters.
It's in Ontario.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I loved roller coasters, man. They go to Six Flags or wherever, and go ride roller coasters. I'd get off and go right back around. I waited about 20 years one time between. Mm-hmm. I got back on one in St. Louis at Six Flags.
Oh yeah,
this is probably 20 years ago itself. So, and I was probably 35, and so it had been 20 years since I'd have been on one, and that thing rocketed like. You know how they brag about we can get from zero to whatever, zero to 70 miles an hour in 2 seconds? So I don't know what it was. It was like that. And I got off that thing, and I kissed the ground. And I vowed to God I would never get on another one again. Because the Bible says don't test the Lord.
That's
right.
We should send a group just to look into this. Because they're saying this is the longest, the fastest, and the highest in the world. We should check this out.
Yeah, we need to check. Send Walker's. Walker, you don't, even though you're 26,
no.
What are you, 26?
I don't do roller coasters. I really don't like going to a hotel that's like 30 floors up and the balcony's right there. And, you know, they got the railings like up to your waist at best.
Right.
And I'm just thinking all it takes is a little shove and I'm gone.
Right.
So, I do like flying. I like flying. So I don't get nervous.
Okay, Tim, I'll take one for the team. Let me get my ankle healed up, and then I'll go up there and we'll check it out.
Why don't you just ride your bike up there?
So this is the world's longest roller coaster now, is that right?
Evidently.
Okay.
Evidently.
It's in Canada. Fred, that's why I thought I'd bring it up, Fred. And when you go home next time, of course, it's in Ontario. That's not where you're from, but still. The Yukon Striker is open now for all those who want to partake.
I'll take pictures of the people on the thing.
Tell you what, I bet they don't create sidewalks underneath this thing. Huh? You know what I'm saying? I don't think I have to comment anymore.
Uh-huh.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Well, yesterday in Washington, D.C., at the Supreme Court of the United States, there was a very important argument over a cross in Maryland on public property. And joining us to talk about it is a gentleman who was inside the courtroom, Hiram Sasser, who is the general counsel for First Liberty, and they are a constitutional First Amendment religious freedom law firm based out of Dallas, or Plano, I guess to be more specific, and Hiram joins us over the phone right now. Hiram, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hiram, tell us what happened yesterday. You were in the hearing, right?
Yeah, the case is the American Legion versus American Humanist Association and First Liberty Institute, along with the law firm of Jones Day, represents the American Legion. And so I was there, and our lawyer that we brought in to argue the case, Mike Carvin, argued the part on behalf of the American Legion.
Who's against this? Where is this cross, and who's opposed to it being on what property zone, and who's opposed to it?
Sure. The cross is in Bladensburg, Maryland. It's just outside of Washington, D.C. It was put up in 1925 by the American Legion and mothers 49 soldiers and sailors and Marines who died in World War I fighting for the United States that were from that county. And it was actually put up on private land owned by the American Legion, but over time, the highways around it expanded, and so now it's in a highway median and owned by the state of Maryland. The people who are against it are the American Humanist Association, and they say that because they can see it when they drive by, that they're offended by it. And their offense is so great that the law, they say, requires us to tear down the memory of those 49 who died fighting for our freedom so that they can more enjoy the pleasantness of their drive.
Go ahead, Fred.
Well, Hiram, it's Fred Jackson here. I was reading some Associated Press reports on the case yesterday, and the AP being part of the liberal media, their headline was, Supreme Court seems inclined to retain cross on public land. And they based that assessment on comments from Justice Elena Hagan, who basically was asking questions about, you know, the symbolism of it. The reason it's there is to remember those who died in World War I. And there was also questions about the historical context of the whole case. So the AP took it from that perhaps this is not going to even be a close decision, that most of the justices agree with the historical context of the cross.
Yeah, I think the big issue here in this case is going to be what is going to be the test going forward. Our client, the American Legion, I mean, we've been representing the American Legion for about 16 years, and we have been defending veterans' memorials all over the country, and we're tired of having to do it. You know, most of our veterans' memorials in our country were put up by either the American Legion or the VFW or other veterans' organizations, and they've been doing that for almost 100 years. And some of those memorials have crosses or have other religious imagery, and we're tired of having to always have to go through, you know, multi-million-dollar litigation in order to preserve these memorials. So what we're hoping for is that the court will actually articulate a strong test that puts an end to a lot of this litigation so that our veterans' memorials, Ten Commandments monuments, and other things like that can be left alone.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, how do you think we won't know till June, right?
Yeah, we probably won't know till the end of June. Probably on the last day of their sitting is when this opinion will come out, I would imagine. You know, we'll hopefully have five justices who all agree on a test that's strong enough in favor of keeping monuments that. That only, you know, in extreme circumstances would a monument fail the test. And so hopefully we can get that and put an end to these types of cases.
Hey, what was it like inside the courtroom? Were all nine justices there?
Yeah, all nine justices were there. Everyone was you know, audibly engaged except for Justice Thomas, who typically doesn't ask any questions.
Why do you think that is?
Well, he's, you know, I don't know other than what he's actually said about why, and what he has said is that he doesn't think that it's necessary in order to get to the bottom of the case.
What if everybody did that?
Handles it.
What if all nine justices didn't ask questions?
Yeah, you know, I think he would ask questions of the way he's talked about it is I don't think he likes the way questions get asked and that sort of thing, but everybody has their own preferences. But I think the most important thing is that everybody was pretty engaged and in searching for, you know, what would be the what we think is an appropriate test to preserve these memorials.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm Justice Thomas's biggest fan. I just think it's kind of odd that you're a Supreme Court justice and you never have questions. I mean,
well, he you know, when you see a master craftsman going about his work, My general rule of thumb is I don't question his methods. He's the master craftsman.
Gotcha.
And Hiram, one more question. This is Walker here. Wouldn't you say these justices and their clerks, they have so much information to read beforehand that oftentimes, in their mind at least, they pretty much have their mind made up, with the exception in case something major comes out?
Yeah, I mean, you look, in general, what they say about oral arguments at the Supreme Court is you're not going to win a case, like change someone's mind in your favor at oral argument, but you can certainly lose a case at oral argument.
Yeah.
So, but there's so much briefing and so much record in this case that, you know, the justices obviously were very well prepared, had good questions. And I think that the lawyer on our team who was arguing, Mike Carvin, did a great job. I also think Jeff Wall, who represented the United States at argument, did a great job of supporting the American Legion, our client's position on the case. And so, you know, we'll see what happens.
Okay. Hiram Sasser joining us from Plano TX. And that is where your offices are, isn't it?
Yeah, I just flew in last night from D.C. I mean, it's on a late flight.
Yeah, he's general counsel for First Liberty. Thank you, Hiram. Take care. Appreciate it, brother.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Okay. Maybe, that's odd that you wouldn't ask questions. Maybe the hand signals.
Right. Yeah, if everybody didn't ask questions, it would be a pretty boring presentation. So...
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. And Fred, what do you got?
Well, it was interesting. We were talking about what's going on in Israel just a few moments ago with indictments being laid against the prime minister there. The prime minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, is also in the midst of a political scandal just months away from
the
election.
He's the one that said, you got me, right?
What?
Trudeau? It's a playoff my... comments
yes.
about nine, yeah. That no world leader ever says, you got me.
No.
I give up.
And let me try to be as diplomatic as possible.
Okay.
I think Justin Trudeau is every bit as sleazy as his dad, the former prime minister.
Yes, that was diplomatic, Fred.
Yeah, I know. I won't make it to the State Department.
That's right.
Here's what's basically what's going on. We only have a few minutes. Trudeau is from Montreal. There is a great big company there, a global engineering construction firm, SNC-Lavalin. They have been under investigation and found guilty of bribery and some other things. In order to reduce the penalties against this company, Trudeau has been accused of talking to his attorney general and saying, hey, go easy on this company because they employ lots of Canadians, et cetera, et cetera. She felt pressure from the prime minister's office so bad that she resigned back a few weeks ago. He has been getting up in parliament and saying and trying to brush off the accusations from the opposition and saying, you know, there's a kind of client attorney privilege here. I can't talk about what I talked about with her. It's a former attorney general. Well, she went public with detailed accusations against the prime minister yesterday and made no bones about it that she felt under pressure to reduce the penalties against this company in his hometown in order to help him politically. And so now even some of the liberal newspapers are writing editorials this morning that it's time for him to step down. So here we are just months away from election in Canada. And he is under pressure now to resign. The conservative leader up there is Andrew Scheer. He's a great guy. And he's already leading in the polls. And I think this is only going to help him.
I tell you what, you know, Robert Mueller's about to be out of a job right here. He can just go on up to Canada and start investigating Trudeau.
Yeah,
right there.
That'll be a short one.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
We shall return in a few minutes after the news with more of Today's Issues right here on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.